I'm Dr. William T. Choctaw, and I will be your host this morning. And I am delighted to have you with us. Each month, we strive to provide you, our listeners, with mental, physical, and spiritual strength by giving actionable advice, tips, guidance, and information to help you achieve your own personal, professional, and spiritual goals. We recognize the health of the mind, body, and spirit are paramount as a single unit to strengthen the whole person. We're passionate about the total person and helping you, our listeners, build and lead a full, well-rounded, and happy life. This podcast is part of our Leadership Masterclass series based on my 50 years as a practicing physician before I retired and 75 years of life experience. Today, we will talk about seven basic issues that women need to know about high blood pressure. Seven facts, basic issues that women need to know about high blood pressure. And indeed, this month, we're going to spend a good deal of time off and on about issues relating to high blood pressure and high blood pressure management. And the reason for this is that high blood pressure is a very common problem and a very serious problem. And this is all part of our Masterclass Medicine series. We always like to start off with our beliefs. I believe life is about being of service to others. I believe knowledge is power. I believe leaders can change the world. We like to give you an outline, and the outline has two primary purposes. The first purpose is to let you know what we're going to talk about. And the second purpose is to let you know when we're just about done. So we're going to give you a definition for high blood pressure and also about the effects of hypertension or high blood pressure. We're going to spend a good deal of time about how to measure high blood pressure because that's really a source of confusion for a lot of people, both healthcare and non-healthcare. And we'll conclude with a word or two about the various types of medications that you may be on as you're managing your high blood pressure. Well, one of the things to keep in mind is that high blood pressure is a major cause of death and illness, serious illness in this country. So one of the first facts is that it's a major cause of heart disease, not only in all of us, but especially in women. Matter of fact, it's the number one cause of heart disease in women. Why do I make a distinction between women and everybody else? This is really based on a historical knowledge, if you will. I started medical school, Yale Medical School, in the 1970s. And back then, much of our knowledge about healthcare was based on studies that were done, experiments that were done. And based on the results of those studies, we then would conclude scientifically what was most helpful in terms of managing various diseases or various illnesses. Well, that was a problem with a lot of those studies. Back in the early part of the century, and certainly in the 50s and 60s, many of those studies only included male subjects. It was basically the culture at the time. And however unintentional that may have been in terms of its significance, the result was that the conclusions that were made were skewed primarily to the male population. probably unintentionally, but they were skewed to the male population. What does that mean critically? It means that the recommendation in terms of treatment, in terms of causation, in terms of epidemiology about heart disease many times was not as valuable to women's health as it was to men's health, only because women were not included in a lot of the original studies. Well, that's all changed, fortunately, in the last 50 years or so. So my point is, it's one of the reasons why women's health as a area of healthcare has absolutely exploded, because there's been a need to make sure that the level of healthcare is of the highest quality, just as it is with men. And this is mainly more of a historical issue than anything else. So my point very simply is, high blood pressure is the number one cause of heart disease in women. Number two, high blood pressure, fact number two, is the number one, is a leading cause of kidney failure in women. A leading cause of kidney failure. And if you think about it, you know, the kidneys are responsible for cleaning the blood as it goes through the kidneys, as it goes throughout the body. And if those kidneys are not functioning properly, now you have the risk, if you will, of all these impurities that have not been removed from the blood as they normally would be, that then may have deleterious effect on other parts of the body. Okay. And the third fact of our seven facts about high blood pressure in women is that it is usually asymptomatic. Now, I know a number of you may say, no. I can tell when my blood pressure is elevated. A number of studies have shown that that's probably not true. That indeed, when our blood pressure is elevated, many times we do not know. Now, certainly, if we're stressed or if we're upset, we know that. But there may be other times that our blood pressure is elevated that we just don't know about. And this is also true in women. So the first three facts are, it's a major cause of heart disease in women. Fact number two, it's a leading cause of kidney failure in women. And fact number three, as in men, it is usually asymptomatic. So how do you define, this is fact number four, normal blood pressure? What is the definition of normal blood pressure? Okay. Normal blood pressure is defined as 120 over 80, two numbers. An upper number called the systolic number is 120. The bottom number, which is called the diastolic number, is 80. So normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. Now, one of the reasons that blood pressure and blood pressure management can be so difficult is that it is amazingly confusing and complex. What do I mean by that? Well, there are a number of things. One is the word normal, 120 over 80. Now, there's another definition of what's called elevated blood pressure, and that can be if the systolic, the top number is 120 to 129 over 80. Okay, so we talked about normal blood pressure, 120 over 80. Elevated blood pressure, the systolic is elevated. The diastolic, the lower number, is normal. But the systolic is 120 to 129 over 80, which is the normal diastolic number. That's called, by definition, an elevated blood pressure. Normal blood pressure, 120 over 80, elevated blood pressure. Next level is an elevated at-risk blood pressure. This is where the systolic is even higher than 129, but maybe 130 to 139, top number, okay? And the bottom number may also be higher than 80. It may be 80 to 89. So we've talked about normal blood pressure, 120 over 80. Elevated blood pressure, 120 to 129 over 80. Elevated at-risk blood pressure, 130 to 139 over 80 to 89. Okay. And there's a fourth category, which is the highest, where the systolic is over 140, and the diastolic, the lower number, is over 90. So there are four different levels of definition of blood pressure. And this is an example of part of the complexity for patients and physicians and healthcare team members of managing an individual's blood pressure. A lot of it has to do with what you call it. Is it normal? Is it elevated? Is it elevated at risk? Is it high blood pressure? Period. So another risk factor for women particularly, and this is not unique to women, certainly can be race and can be genetics. And it's very important to keep in mind that high blood pressure can be inherited. And I only mention that because many times, let's say if the patient is obese, and we know that obesity may contribute to high blood pressure, a number of times patients may sort of beat themselves up and say, well, it's my fault because I can't control my eating habits, blah, 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 blah. It's important to understand that high blood pressure can be inherited, that it may be from your parents, it may be from your grandparents, it may be from your great-grandparents. So it's important to understand that our job and your job as a patient is to look at ways that you can mitigate the problem, but certainly do not give yourself a hard time because you believe it is your fault. How are other ways that women may be particularly unique in terms of having high blood pressure? Well, pregnancy. During pregnancy, some patients can get what's called preeclampsia. And this is a type of unique high blood pressure that only occurs during pregnancy, and then usually after the baby delivers, the high blood pressure goes away. Well, one of the things that many believe that women, those few women who may get this preeclampsia, this elevated blood pressure during pregnancy and during childbirth, may very well be predisposed to have elevated blood pressure as they get older, okay? So if you had preeclampsia during pregnancy, you may be predisposed to having blood pressure as you get older. Now, another risk that we all know is that age alone is a risk factor, and particularly for women after menopause, that after age 50 or so, that the chance of developing high blood pressure may very well increase. Some women who have polycystic ovaries, or lupus may very well have a higher risk of high blood pressure. And another very unique issue for women is birth control pills. A large percentage of women take birth control pills, and some studies have suggested that taking birth control pills may very well result, and some of those patients may end up having a higher risk of high blood pressure as they get older. Well, let's address a different issue that many times is very, very challenging for all patients, male or female, who have high blood pressure. And that is how to measure your blood pressure. Now, why is that a problem, you may say? Well, the reality is that let's say you have high blood pressure and your physician tells you to come into the office for a regular checkup. And so when you go to her office, the doctor, her staff, or she or her staff will check, will measure your blood pressure, and they'll have a certain number. Let's say it's 125 over 80. Now, that may very well be in an elevated category, as we talked about earlier. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because the most important blood pressure, quite honestly, is not necessarily the blood pressure when you go to the doctor's office. Why is that? Well, all of us are human, and most of us have a certain degree of anxiety about going to see a doctor or going to a doctor's office or going to a hospital. Some call it the white coat syndrome. But my point is that as human, being human as we are, we may very well be susceptible to have an uptick in our blood pressure. So it may not be an accurate reflection about what our blood pressure is normally 24/7 in a normal day. And the most accurate blood pressure for the physician to be able to consider management of possible blood hypertension is what your blood pressure normally is. And that measurement, quite honestly, is really when you're at home or taken multiple times in your normal environment. And your normal environment is not you visiting the doctor's office. So why is that an issue? That's an issue because what that suggests is it's going to be the blood pressure that you measure and give to the physician in a document or on notes that you might keep in terms of what your blood pressure is during different times of the day, during different days of the week. Let me say that again. The most important blood pressure measurement is the blood pressure that is done at home or in your normal environment and not necessarily in the doctor's office. Why? Because the blood pressure in the doctor's office may be falsely elevated because you may be anxious, as normal people would be, visiting a doctor or visiting a doctor's office. Now, maybe everybody is not, but certainly a large number of people are. Okay. So my point is, it's very important as a patient that you understand and that we as patients understand how do we measure our blood pressure at home, because that may end up being the most reliable blood pressure that we want to use. Okay. Now, just to recap, normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. That's the number that I want you to keep in your mind. Okay. Any change in that number, particularly an increase in change in that number, then gets you into an elevated category, a high blood pressure category, stage one, some call it, a high blood pressure category, stage two, and then what we call hypertensive crisis. So normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. Elevated blood pressure is 120 to 129 over 80. Bottom number doesn't change. Top number goes up slightly. High blood pressure stage one or hypertension stage one. Top number goes from 120 over 80 to 130 over 139. Bottom number now creeps up to 80 to 89. That's considered high blood pressure stage one. High blood pressure stage two. Top number, systolic number is 140. Okay, goes from 120 to 140, very high. And the bottom number goes up to 90 or higher. And that's considered stage two. Why is it important to understand what the different stages are? Because this is what your physician is going to do when he or she decides whether you need to be treated for your blood pressure or not. The different stages of your blood pressure measurement is where the physician is going to use to decide whether you need to be treated with medication or otherwise for your blood pressure or not. Okay? So it's one of the reasons, as we mentioned before, that blood pressure management is challenging. It's confusing because there's so many moving parts. There are two numbers that you have to be concerned about, a top number and a bottom number. And any variation of either or both of those numbers changes your category of high blood pressure and then will dictate a different form of management for that particular high blood pressure. So what are some basic things that you can do to make sure you standardize checking your blood pressure at home? Some basic things that you can do to standardize you checking your blood pressure at home. And this is fact number six. And this could be for men or women, but we're going to stick with women in this particular podcast. So six things I want you to think about doing just before you check your blood pressure at home. Okay. Number one, don't drink caffeine, smoke, or exercise at least 30 minutes before you take your blood pressure. Let me say that again. Don't drink caffeine, smoke, or exercise at least 30 minutes before you take your blood pressure. Okay. Number two, empty your bladder before the test. Empty your bladder before you take your blood pressure, before you sit down to take your blood pressure. Number three, sit with your back straight, such as in a dining room chair and with both feet on the floor. So you want to have a certain posture. You want to sit in a chair with your back straight and with your feet on the floor. And you want to do this every single time you check your blood pressure. Why? Because what you're most concerned about is whether the blood pressure is elevated or not. And so you want to make sure that you standardize your environment and your methodology to make sure that if there's a change in your blood pressure, it is because of the blood pressure itself and not because of a change in your methodology of taking the blood pressure. Again, one of the reasons why taking the blood pressure can be complex. Number four, rest quietly as you're sitting in this chair with both feet on the floor for at least 5 minutes before taking your blood pressure. So don't sit down, don't take your blood pressure in a rush, in other words, because obviously that contributes to your blood pressure being elevated, right? So you want to rest at least 5 minutes before taking your blood pressure. Number five, do not move, talk, or text while you take your blood pressure. Now, this probably seems obvious, but you don't want to be talking to somebody across the room or talking on the phone or texting somebody while you're taking your blood pressure. Why? Because you're not completely relaxed and you want complete relaxation standardized when you take your blood pressure. And number six, if you take your blood pressure sitting and it is elevated or appears to be elevated, take it again, but this time take it standing. Let me say that again. If you take your blood pressure and it is elevated when you're sitting, as you normally would take it, take your blood pressure again and while you're standing. In other words, stand up and repeat the blood pressure. So these are just some of the reasons that lend to the complexity of managing hypertension and high blood pressure. One, it's difficult to measure. Two, there are multiple numbers that you have to keep track of, and those numbers can change. Three, a number of things can influence the blood pressure measurement result at that particular time. And so the more you can standardize that process, the more accurate and more reliable your blood pressure management can be, and the medication that you may be placed on, the more effective that can be. Another part of this has to do with equipment to take your blood pressure. Now, many years ago, we used to take the blood pressure with a cuff or an element that we wrapped around the arm. Then we had a stethoscope that we would put under it. And then we would push a button and watch a needle go up. Well, that's basically old school. And you don't want to do that, use that process. There's a much simpler way where you can go to the pharmacist and you purchase a blood pressure set. It comes in two parts and two parts only. You don't need a stethoscope. It comes in a part that you wrap around your arm with a tube. You connect the tube to a little box and you push a button, and that's all you do. And the blood pressure box itself will record your blood pressure and your pulse, and it will also keep a record of it. And so that eliminates the whole need to use a stethoscope, wrap it up, wrap your arm up, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, when you purchase your blood pressure cup, one of the things that you want to do, or your blood pressure unit, is take it with you when you go to see your physician, because you want to have her check your blood pressure set to make sure that it's a validated blood pressure unit, and actually to make sure that the readings are accurate. So you want to take it with you, have them take your blood pressure using your blood pressure set, and then have them to compare that with their blood pressure set to make sure that what you're using is giving you accurate information. I know it sounds like a lot, but this is such an important medical problem that once you get it organized and set up, it really is quite easy. And certainly it's worth it because you want those numbers to be valid because they're going to influence how you're treated and presently and in the future. So one of the things, and certainly the seventh fact to keep in mind, is that managing your blood pressure at home is crucial to controlling or managing your overall blood pressure health. Let me say that again, women. Managing your blood pressure at home is crucial to managing your overall blood pressure health. And so it's important that you work out a system that you are comfortable with and that's effective, have it validated by your healthcare professional team or your healthcare team when you go to the doctor's office, by having them look at your unit and making sure that it's accurate and it's the proper equipment, and then comparing the numbers there and numbers that they take. I would recommend to you that when you go in for your blood pressure check, that you have a list of what your blood pressure has been on different days during different time while at home, and that you take that list with you to your doctor's office. So why do you think, among others, that I specifically wanted to single out women in terms of blood pressure management? The reality is, in my impression, and certainly in my experience, that women are basically the healthcare leaders in the home. Let me say that again. This is my opinion. Women are basically the healthcare leaders in the home. They're the ones who will tell the husband, you need to go see the doctor, or you need to do this, you need to do that. They're the ones in general who probably take the children for their doctor's appointments. And they're the ones who also have the responsibility of taking care of themselves. So as leaders of healthcare in the home, it is imperative that women, that all of you be most knowledgeable, because basically you're the ones in charge. Basically, you're the ones in charge. Not like that's right or wrong, but it most times it is what it is, okay? So the more we can help you, the more you can help yourself and members of your family and friends. Now, there certainly are symptoms that one can have if one has significant high blood pressure. And remember, everybody's a little different, and I think it's very important to keep that in mind. Your blood pressure symptoms are not like other blood pressure symptoms. And some of these symptoms could be headaches, chest pain, shortness of breath, vomiting, palpitations, dizziness, blurred vision, nosebleeds. But let me add the caveat. Most patients in general, the belief is, who have high blood pressure do not know at the time when their blood pressure is elevated. I know a lot of patients think that they do know. They say, oh, I can tell my blood pressure, my blood pressure is up, blah, blah, blah. Most of the time, that's not accurate. What's my point? My point is that's why high blood pressure or hypertension is such a serious problem, is that many times it's easy to ignore. It is easy to ignore until a serious complication occurs, like a heart attack, like a stroke, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we want to do, particularly with these podcasts and masterclass series, is to be proactive, keep you well as compared to trying to do something once you become sick. So this is part of our wellness program, okay? Knowledge is power. So even though you can have symptoms with high blood pressure, most of the times high blood pressure will not give you symptoms. And so what that means is that you cannot necessarily depend on whether your blood pressure is controlled or not based on how you feel. It is not accurate. It is not accurate. The only accurate way you know whether your blood pressure is elevated or not is to take your blood pressure on a regular basis in regular settings with regular methodology over a period of time. So in summary, hypertension is a very common medical problem in this country, in men and women. But we're emphasizing women doing this podcast because women are basically the healthcare leaders of the family, my opinion, and the experience that I've gotten and seeing my patients. Secondly, patients with high blood pressure may very well be treated with multiple medications, and that is not uncommon. Some may be given a water pill or other types of medication, and that sometimes adds to the complexity of treating high blood pressure. One, identifying when the blood pressure is elevated. Two, finding the right medication without unnecessary side effects that work. And three, knowing whether the medication that you've been placed on really is effective. Because most, if not all of those things are dependent on regular, accurate measurement of your blood pressure at home. Also, it is extremely important that you use, again, the standardized set of a blood pressure machine that you can get in the pharmacy. I think they cost $20 to $30, depending on the pharmacy, and have your physician's office or your healthcare team check your blood pressure unit to make sure it is accurate, and have them to use it to check your blood pressure when you visit them. And also, finally, everybody is different. Everybody is different. What works for you may not work for someone else that you know or a member of your family. And so it is extremely important to make sure that you follow the recommendation of your physician. If the medication that you're given has side effects, immediately report that to the physician, as compared to just not taking it or modifying how you take it. Do not do that. Everything has to be very structured and very organized, because decisions are going to be made based on changes that are made. And if those changes are not accurate, then the decisions that are based on those changes cannot be accurate also. I would also encourage you, and I like to encourage all of my listeners to do this, to be very proactive in looking up information about healthcare. And I call it wellness, because, again, we want to keep you well as compared to stopping you from being improving when you're sick. But most of us in both of those categories. And so I recommend that you look up important wellness services online. And you can look, and basically any major healthcare delivery system, hospital network, I like Yale Health, Kaiser Permanente, Harvard Health, Mayo Clinic, but any of those, go to their websites, put in under the search whatever subject that you're interested in. For instance, you can put in hypertension and read for yourself, because again, knowledge is power. So the more you know, the more effective you can be in terms of taking care of your health and managing your health and managing the health of those who love you. So in conclusion, be the change you want to see in the world. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.